All right, everybody, take your Bibles, please, and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'll tell you what, we have an awesome church. I love being a part of this church, and it's kind of neat. You have people you joke around with, and you have people that, we haven't been here at this church for, let's say, we came back in January, probably the coldest coldest time of winter, but at the same point in time, our family feels like we've been a part of this church for a long time. It's just, everybody's such good friends, and I tell you what, we have an awesome church, and I'm so thankful for it, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to preach. I want to try and encourage us. This is one of those sermons where I know I need a reminder on, and it's just kind of one of those friendly reminders that of something that I feel that's very important. And basically, the title of my message tonight is being biblically receptive. Biblically receptive. So let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we're going to read, just starting off with two passages. We're going to read a lot more scripture later on, but 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. When you find it, please stand in honor of God's word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. That you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectual worketh also in you that believeth. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. And dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that in it is everything we need for life. It tells us about salvation and how Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. And we thank you so much for that. And we thank you the fact that you give us a roadmap for us for living the Christian life. And dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you just help us to learn to be biblically receptive tonight. And dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us to just decide to grow closer to you in Jesus' name. Amen. How many have ever heard of John Wycliffe? Anybody? A few people. And most of us probably have. And the thing about it is that you and I have the Bible in the English language largely because of people like John Wycliffe. He was not only known as a scholar, but he produced the first English text of the Bible. But he was also known as a fighter and defender of the faith. The thing about it is he was burned at the stake because he translated the Bible in the English language. And after he died, his enemies took his ashes and sprinkled them over a river in London and said, "We are forever rid of this man, John Wycliffe, the heretic." But they were wrong. And the truth of the matter is God had used men like this. And the thing about it is many have given their lives for the Bible that we hold in our lap. And they've given their lives so that we could have a copy of the Word of God today. One of the books that I was encouraged to read as a young man was, I believe it was Trail of Blood. And it talked about just the people that have died defending the faith. And let me encourage you to read that. But the thing about it is that I want to talk to you tonight about being biblically receptive. And it's not a new topic. It's just one that I believe that we need a reminder of. I know that I need a reminder of it. I remember several years back up in Michigan, some people were talking, and they were like, "Well, I'm just not being fed from the preaching at this church." And it was another church. And I remember thinking, "Well, that's funny. My wife and I are just about at the altar every night, and it's like trying to eat out of a water, drink out of a water hose. It's just so much is coming from the Word of God, and it's just phenomenal." And you know what we saw is that as time went by, it was more evident that they just weren't being willing to be fed. And it wasn't that the Word of God wasn't being presented. The truth of the matter is it doesn't matter who's preaching. If the Word of God is being preached, the truth of the matter is we can all be fed. But the thing about it is that these people just weren't coming to the table to be fed. As I kind of watched them, they hopped around from church to church, and it wasn't until they got this problem of not wanting to be fed, taken care of, that they actually started to grow. But the thing about it is that we need to make sure that we're biblically receptive. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, the Bible says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." See, the thing about it is that the word of God is very powerful. And the thing about it is we see that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder soul and spirit and joints and marrows, and a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Bible is a very powerful, powerful book. And the Bible likens itself unto a sword. You know, it's just like this. I can take a sword and I can set it up here on the seat. And you know what? The sword wouldn't be, you know what? It could be as sharp as the day is long. But the truth of the matter is until somebody picks it up and uses it, you know what? Swords all throughout history have been used to defend our freedom and whatnot. But the truth of the matter is it had to be in the hands of somebody that was willing to use it. And the truth of the matter is that Scripture is the same way. It needs to be in a part of our everyday life. We're going to talk about this later on, but we need to use our Bible. We need to apply it to our lives and let it work inside of our lives. And so the thing about it is that this book will not change my life until I decide to obey it, until I decide to use it. Paul describes the Thessalonians as a people that were biblically receptive. And they were willing to be ready to receive the word of God as the word of God and obey it. You know, in Christian circles nowadays, we call ourselves independent, fundamental, Baptist, Bible-believing, soul winners, and soul-winning churches. And we refer to the Bible as the word of God. But if we really believe that the Bible is the word of God, why aren't we more receptive to what it says? Why don't we take God at his word and obey it? Truth of the matter is not necessarily in this church, but so many times churches across America, they want to take and pick and choose on what they want to believe out of the Bible or what they want to do. And too many times, well, that part's for somebody else. And well, that part over there, that's for somebody else. And you know, the thing about it is the Bible's not really necessarily like a buffet where we just leave the stuff we don't want. And we just kind of, oh, I like that stuff over there. And, you know, it's like it's like my kids at a buffet. I got to watch them. You know, they'll load up with chocolate-covered strawberries and you know, the cakes and the cookies. And, you know, the thing about it is there's some awesome parts in there. Hey, about salvation, awesome parts. But the thing about it is living holy, well, that's not for me. No, the thing about it is the whole Bible's in there specifically for us. And so God doesn't put anything in the Bible just out of coincidence or happenstance. It's there for us for a reason. And so the thing about it is that... We say that we believe the Bible is the word of God, and yet many come to church only when it's convenient, even though the preaching of the word or teaching of the word of God teaches otherwise. Many, not necessarily in this church, once again, but you know, some refuse to tithe. They say that they believe the Bible, but yet they refuse to tithe. Many refuse to serve in a ministry or fail to win souls or fail to claim its promises or fail to obey its commands, and yet we still claim that the Bible is the word of God. The thing about it once again, we've been studying joy on Wednesday nights with the teenagers. And you know, the thing about it is that joy always comes from a walk with God. Joy always comes from serving God. And joy always comes from, you know, the thing about it is this morning we talked about how sometimes service can be, you know, the thing about it is that God made us to walk with him. We're supposed to read our Bibles in prayer. And the thing about it is sometimes we can take and service can be dull and drab if we're not coupling our service with love. The thing about it is we're supposed to have a relationship with God. I tell you what, my wife, I love her. August 11th is almost 14 years. And the thing about it is you know what? I love doing things for my wife. Why? Because I love my wife. And you know what? It's exciting planning out a gift for anniversary and you know, all right, I got this planned, you know, and I'm excited, even though, you know, the thing about it is it's a gift for her, but I'm excited. Why? Because I love her. Well, the service is the same thing. You don't couple the service with love, it can be kind of, oh man, I have to do. But tell you what, when you get a relationship with God and you walk with God and you know, I tell you what, it's like, hey, you know what? Let's serve God. Hey, why? Because I love God. And you know what? I'm excited to see God use it. I tell you what, hey, you know what? Let's see that life change. Hey, that was God working and it's exciting serving God. You know, the thing about it is I tell you what, some people, I feel sorry for some pastors, not here, but the thing about it is some pastors, they're like, well, let's circle the wagons. No, I tell you what, hey, let's serve God. Hey, it's exciting. You know what? I tell you what, the light seems brightest in the dark. And the thing about it is, if I were to have a flashlight and right here where all the lights are on, you know what? Hey, listen, it would look bright, but not that bright. But I tell you what, turn off all the lights and that flashlight seems bright. Thing about it is, you know what? The darker the world gets, hey, I tell you what, the brighter God's love seems. And the thing about it is the more exciting it is to serve God. And so, but listen, guys, the truth of the matter is it comes down to this. In order to be biblical receptive, this is kind of getting off the message a little bit, but in order to be biblical receptive, we've got to fall in love with the author. We've got to learn to love the author. The thing about it is you know what? He's talking about the most lovable person ever. You know, the person that's willing to die on the cross for our sins. I tell you what, how can you not love a person like that? You know, too many times we as Christians, as not necessarily Christians, but in humanity, you know, it's like, well, I tell you what, if you give me this and so, I'll be your friend. Well, the thing about it is, you know what? We don't even have to say that because he's already given everything. You know what? He's already sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross for my sins. I tell you what, how much, you cannot love God. And so the thing about it is, you know what? Hey, when you get the right perspective, you know, the thing about it is the Bible talks about get the mind of Christ. I tell you what, you know what? We need to just get a glimpse of what God sees. And we need to get a glimpse of what it's like on walking with God. I tell you what, this is an exciting time to serve God. But listen, guys, we've got to get to the point where we obey the Word of God. You know, and we can't just do it when it's convenient. Luke chapter 6, Matthew, Mark, Luke 6. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. Almost there. Luke 6, 46. The Bible says, make sure I'm in the right chapter. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh unto me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which buildeth a house and diggeth deep and lay the foundation upon a rock. And when the flood arose and the storm beat vehemently. I'll tell you what, that's a big word we ought to start using, you know. Oh, that guy's smart. Vehemently, you know. But the storm beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man without a foundation, build a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great. The truth of the matter is you know what? Hey, listen, we need to get to the point where we have the Bible as our foundation. The thing about it is you know what? You have no other sure foundation than the Word of God. You know, the thing about it is the Bible's not going to change, and I tell you what, man likes to change it, and you know what? That's all. I wouldn't want to be a part of them, because you know what? The truth of the matter is the Bible, the Word of God, never changes. Satan can try. You know what? Satan's tried from day one to try and pervert the Word of God. Yea, hath God said? Well, you know what? You shouldn't touch it, or you shouldn't look upon it or touch it. You know, the thing about it is Satan and Eve kind of had a distorted view on what God's command was. And you know what? Satan's still doing the same old tricks. Today, he's trying to, you know what? I don't know how many thousands of quote-unquote versions of the Bible there are, but they're just perversions of the gospel. And the truth of the matter is you know what? Hey, we have this solid rock right here. You know, the thing about it is that when we ground ourselves in the Word of God, you know what? The storms, the streams, everything can come our way. But you know what? If we're grounded in the Word of God, you know, we're not going to be moved. But the truth of the matter is too many Christians, we take and we fail to read the Word of God. We fail to get grounded on the rock. We fail to have a personal relationship, devotions. And you know what the thing about it is we base our lives off of what happens out in the world. And well, this person over here says this and that person says that. And the truth of the matter is when we're not grounded on the Word of God, the storms come and the streams beat behemothly. I like that word. And the thing about it is that, you know what? We get washed away. And the truth of the matter is that this is the reason why so many Christians nowadays, their life is kind of like this. It's like they have ups and then downs and ups and downs. And the thing about it is if we're grounded in a rock, hey, you know what? I'm not saying that we're not going to have hard times or a bad day, but the thing about it is for the most part, you know what? When we're grounded on the rock, our lives are going to be like this. It's not going to be like a pendulum one way, the other way. The thing about it is you know what? God's word never changes. This is a solid rock. We need to be grounded in the Word of God. I want to explore three areas in which will happen when we get grounded in the Word of God and when we become biblically receptive. The first is we'll find that a biblically receptive people has an appreciation for the Word of God. You know, the thing about it is that too many times we kind of fail to appreciate what we have. And sometimes the thing about it is that human nature is that the thing that you haven't paid for, you have a hard time respecting and understanding exactly what it is. You know, too many times I remember growing up, you know, you see these teenagers that were just given a car. And it's like, all right, you know, they're out there tearing up their tires. And I remember one teenager, he poked it in a ditch. And the thing about it is I had a car, but it wasn't given to me. My dad very wisely said, you know what, son, if you're going to have a car, it's because you've worked for it, you paid for it, and you fixed it up, and you had it by the time you were ready to drive. And so I got a 1966 Volkswagen Bug that was a dark brown, looked like something I won't tell you about. But anyways, the thing about it is the paint was peeling off, and you know what? It was running on three cylinders, and it needed a lot of work. But you know what? I was out there polishing that thing. Why? Because it cost me something. And the thing about it is that we as Christians, we need to realize that even though this word did not cost us something, it cost other people something. The thing about it is we need to appreciate what we have in our lap. You know, the thing about it is that we need to appreciate what it says. You know, too many times we'll read in the newspaper, well, you know, this is happening over in this place. And we take it as fact. But the truth of the matter is too many times we read the Bible and, well, this doesn't apply to me. This applies to so-and-so. And I tell you what, this is one thing I've got to be careful on, especially being married to who I am. You know, well, this verse applies to her. No, just joking. But anyways, the thing about it is we shouldn't read our Bible. We shouldn't read our Bible. And I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. We shouldn't read our Bible looking for verses for somebody else. We should read our Bible looking for verses for me. Because the thing about it is I need it more than she does. But we need to appreciate what we have. The thing about it is, we need to not treat the Bible like any other book. You know, when I was growing up, whether or not you agree with me, thing about it is this is the way I was raised. You didn't set anything on top of the Bible. It was a special book. I mean, you didn't toss it around. You didn't just kind of throw it in the trunk of your car. You didn't just kind of, it was a special book. And so with that special book, you treated it extra special careful. And the truth of the matter is you didn't rip pages out of it. You didn't, you know, the thing about it is that, you know, it was a special book. We need to get back to appreciating the Word of God. Here's the thing is some things that will help us appreciate is the origin. Turn your Bibles to Psalms chapter 119. Psalms chapter 119. I was looking in the New Testament for Psalms. It's not there, let me tell you. And Psalms chapter 119, verses 89. Psalms 119, 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. How long is forever? Forever. You know, one of the things that irritates me is that I'll ask one of my kids, what's the meaning of this and so? And they use that word to describe itself. Well, I just did it. And forever, thy word is settled. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And so the thing about it is that you know what? God authored the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3:16. 2 Timothy chapter 3:16. Here's the thing is when you realize that God was the author of the Bible, that alone sets it apart. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible says, all scripture, not some of the scripture, not part of the scripture, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Now, here's the thing, is this is a little side note. This is interesting. I don't believe anything in the Bible is a coincidence. It's profitable for doctrine, okay? And then that's what we place our faith in, reproof, okay? Points out a problem. Correction, it fixes a problem. And for instruction and righteousness, that points us in the right direction. This is kind of like a little bit of an outline for revival. And what happens is that we realize that we have a problem. Okay, that's from being in the scriptures. This is why the revival service, we're so excited about the revival service, because the truth of the matter is that, you know what? Hey, listen, we all need revival. If we're honest with ourselves, we all need revival. And what it's going to take is for us to realize that we have a problem out of scriptures, and to get corrected, fixing the problem with scripture, and then for instruction and righteousness. It's, you know, the thing about it is Pastor mentioned at a prayer meeting, that we need to get, you know, revival is getting straightened out. You know what? We need to get instruction on how to get straightened out by the Word of God. You know, the thing about it is we're not going to find it in peers. We're not going to find it out in the world. You know what? That'll just get you more crooked, more off kilter than anything. The truth of the matter is, you know what? To find the problem, we got to be in Scripture. To have the answer for the problem, we got to be in the Scripture. And to be lined up, we've got to be in the Scripture. So the thing about it is that this verse right here has a lot to it. And it's a very powerful verse. But the thing about it is that, you know what? God authored, back to the outline, God authored the Word of God. He's the author of it. So the origin alone makes it a very special book. And the thing about it is the character of the Bible. Psalms chapter 19. Psalms 19, verse 7, the Bible says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired than gold. Well, I tell you what, then why are we searching after the almighty dollar so much? We need to be searching for the gold out of the Word of God. More desirable than gold, or more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And the thing about it is that, you know what? This gives you a little glimpse on the character of the Word of God. And you know what? The worth of the Word of God. The content. Now, this is the exciting part. Now, everything's exciting out of the Word of God. But Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Content. Luke chapter 24, verses 25 through 27. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. You know who the main character of the Bible is? Jesus. You know, here's the thing is, you could not find a better focus for anything than Jesus. And that alone, you couple the fact that God is the author and Jesus is the main character, right there, that alone makes the Bible just, you know what, better than any other book by far that you could ever imagine. And the thing about it is that, you know what, in John 6, verse 68, you know what? They are the words of life. And the thing about it is you know what? God also gives us everything in the Bible that we need to live. You know, I remember hearing a pastor preach one time, and he said, you know, really, you can write in the front of your Bible, Dear Scott Willman. And on the very end, love God. Because this is a love letter to us. And you know what? It gives us everything we need in the Christian life. God, everything that we need to live the successful Christian life, God gives us. That's how loving and awesome God is. And the thing about it is we need to get back focused on the Word of God, be receptive listeners. Now, the thing about it is or biblically receptive. And the truth of the matter is when we reject God's Word, we refuse to obey. And the truth of the matter is that once we appreciate or understand what the Bible is, we are ready for the next step, and therefore we must have an appropriation. I like big words tonight. Tonight's my night for big words. And but anyways, appropriation. If I were to appropriate something, I were to use it and take it as my own. And the thing about it is that here, the Thessalonian Christians not only heard the word of God, they took it into their heart and made it a part of their lives. What do we do with the word of God when we hear it? And we're talking about being biblically receptive. The thing about it is do we apply it or do we let it go in one ear and out the other? I'll be honest with you. You know, the thing about it is ashamedly, there's been times where I've sat through a sermon and I stopped afterwards and I'm like, it kind of went in one ear and out the other. And I realized, you know what? Hey, at that point in time, I was hearing, but I wasn't receiving. And the truth of the matter is I definitely wasn't making it my own. And so therefore, if we find ourselves in that position, we need to eagerly correct it. You know, too many times Christians are like the lady that I met at the nursing home one day. And when she was losing her hearing, and so she went to a specialist, and they suggested an operation to help improve it. And she promptly vetoed the idea, saying, I'm 94 years old, and I've heard enough. But the truth of the matter is you know what? If we as Christians, sometimes we can say the same thing. Well, you know what? I'm this many years old, and I've heard enough. Well, you know what? Let's see, I'm 34 years old, and I was saved when I was about 5 years old. And so, let's see, 28 years. You know, I can say, well, I've been a Christian 29, 28 years, you know. Bless God, I've heard enough. I've heard it. Wait a minute here. The thing about it is when I decide that I'm going to say something like that, I've really got a problem. Because the truth of the matter is then I've not appropriated the Word of God. We need to appropriate the Word of God. We need to appreciate the Word of God and appropriate the Word of God. The Bible says in the Bible says in Matthew 13:9, it says, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So in other words, that we need to make sure that we're listening to the Word of God. Use every opportunity that we have to hear the Word of God and appropriate it into our lives. This is why it's important. This is why we're so excited about the Sunday school promotion. Why? Because it's one more opportunity for us to hear the Word of God and appropriate it into our lives. And so we need to make sure that we don't miss any opportunities. The Bible says in Mark 4:24, the Bible says, take heed to what you hear. And so the thing about it is we need to be considering carefully what we hear. And we need to take heed on what we hear in Sunday school. Take heed to what we hear when the preaching of the Word of God is happening. You know, the thing about it is too many times we take heed to the television. And the thing about it is that Some of the times the frustration with working with teenagers is that we just have them for a short period of time, and you got to think about what their influence is in the rest of their time. It's like, you know, they say that the average, I don't remember the number, but it's a staggering number. They say the average person watches a boatload of TV in just in 1 week. And the truth of the matter is that you factor in all the garbage that's on TV and all the worldly people that are trying to teach them. And yes, there are some good Christian educators in the public schools, but at the same point in time, there are some that the flat out do not believe God even exists, and they're flat out atheists. And the thing about it is that you consider all that the influence that they have and the percentage of influence for God and the Word of God and whatnot is so small and everything else is so large. But the truth of the matter is, only the Word of God is powerful enough to overcome that. And so the thing about it is that listen, guys, it's not in vain because you know what? Hey, the Word of God is, I can't quote the verse, I'm getting tongue-tied, but you know what? It's sharper than any two-edged sword. You know what? The Bible is powerful. The Bible is the only book that can change a life. The Bible is the only one that can show us how to get saved. You know, the Bible has everything we need. And so anyways, you know what? We as Christians, we need to be careful. If we spend 2 to 3 hours a week studying the Word of God and 15 to 20 hours a week watching TV, what am I appropriating into my life? And so the thing about it is Jesus says to carefully consider what we hear. Third warning Jesus given by Jesus is found in Luke 8:18. It says, take heed, therefore, how you hear. The thing about it is it's one thing to listen, and it's another thing to listen to the right things, and it's another thing still to listen the right way to things. Gypsy Smith made a statement, "What makes the difference is not how many times you have been through the Bible, but how many times and how thoroughly the Bible has been through you." The thing about it is that's a powerful statement. You know, here's the thing is, we can read through the Bible and just kind of skim through it, but you know what we need to be striving for is to let the Bible have go through us. We need to take and, you know what, we need to let the Holy Spirit work through us. When we're reading our Bibles, when we're praying, I'll be honest with you, we need to be praying that, you know what, God would take and show me some way that some problem that I have in my life, some way to correct it, and the instruction on which way to go. And the truth of the matter is that, you know what, in every sermon we hear, in every Sunday school lesson we hear, at every Wednesday night Bible study we hear, we should listen with the attitude of, what should I do differently in my life as a result of what I am learning from the Word of God? We don't listen to the Word of God just to gain religious knowledge, but to mine a resource more precious than gold that will turn us into godly men and women. The truth of the matter is, you know what? We need to take and be mining for gold out of the Word of God. You know, the thing about it is I'll be honest with you, all across America, the old-fashioned aisle walking is becoming a thing of the past. And the truth of the matter is that I really believe that that this is a problem in America. This is a problem on why Americans are turning away from God is because, you know what? We're not listening to the Word of God. We're not appropriating the Word of God. We're not letting it form us. Here's the thing is, when I was in Bible college, one of the things they told you is that your message should come from God. It should be exactly what God wants you to preach. But the thing about it is your message should be funneled down to help the people form a decision or a conclusion. And the thing about it is we as people that are sitting under the Word of God, we need to be saying, hey, listen, what decision can I make to make me a better Christian? What decision, what is God trying to tell me out of the Word of God? What can I take and walk away from this preaching or this teaching? What can I walk away with? What gold nugget can I, how can I let the preaching of God's Word stir a fire in my heart so that I go and dig for gold when I'm at home? For some reason, I thought of digging for gold, you know. But anyways, it's not that kind of digging for gold. But the thing about it is that, you know what? We need to take and I work with teenagers a little too long. But anyways, the thing about it is that you know what? We need to come to a conclusion with the preaching and the Word of God. This is what it's talking about, being biblically receptive, yielding to the Holy Spirit strong, and making a conclusion or a decision. The conclusion is this. It's one thing to say I believe the Bible is the Word of God. It's something else to take it into my life and allow it to transform me. Because if we do take it into our lives, it will transform us. It's one thing to accept the Bible as true. It's quite another to live a life that demonstrates its truth. It's one thing to speak of the power of God. It's another thing to allow the Word of God to activate its power in my life. Are we being biblically receptive? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for its power. We thank you for the love that's behind it and through it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the fact that you are the author and that Jesus Christ is the focal point. Heavenly Father, we pray that you just help us to be a church that allows the Word of God to just have free reign in our lives to find problems and correct them and point us in the right direction. And dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us to just fall in love with this book. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us to honor and glorify you in all that we say and do. In Jesus' name, Pastor.